Been a few times I've wanted to go with her. I realize I got to preach. We appreciate the church. We appreciate the workers in the church. Appreciate our children's church workers and our nursery workers. And I want to say this. I appreciate those who worked so hard last week as we had our fall festival here. And we, you know, we had the trunk or treat and cookout. I mean, it took a lot of work just to put that together in a short period of time. But I really appreciate them. We probably had, I don't know, maybe 80, 100 people here. And it was a blessing, so we appreciate them. Let's give them a big hand for their hard work, amen. And the guy that had the suit dripping with the smoke from cooking, I know that was a... Good. We appreciate that. Appreciate the church. Appreciate the Lord and what God's doing. As we said, God's not changed and God's not dead. And, you know, we want to say also thank you to those upstairs that put together our sound. Thank you, choir. Thank you for everybody here. We do want to start having choir practice today at 4 p.m. We're going to start practicing our Christmas music. And we just got just a few Sundays that we can do that. So if it's to where you can come, come. If you can't, we understand it is going to be stuff that people should be familiar with. We appreciate the church for their continued giving. I mean, you know, during this pandemic time, we went through quite a period of time there where we could only have online services, and we're still doing that, but we're, you know, able to have more people in the building. But we appreciate the church continuing to support the church and the things that are going on here, because it takes the support of the people, and some people are still giving, and although they've not been able to be here since March. And we understand those. And you look around and you're missing people. If you get an opportunity, pick up the phone and call them. Amen. Encourage them. And don't push them to come back if they're not comfortable. Different people are dealing with different things. But do tell them we haven't forgotten them. Tell them we're praying for them. And tell them we still consider them a part of this church, even if we hadn't seen them in 6 months. They need to hear from you. They need to hear that you love them and you're praying about them. And you're thinking about it. You know, sometimes people, you know, you call them and they say, well, you don't need to call me. Yeah, you do. I'd rather call them and them tell me not to call than to call and they say, well, you know, I didn't think anybody cared. We all, yeah, we care. Yeah. Amen. Let's let them know that we care. Amen. Amen. Let's reach out to them and encourage people. We're living in a time where people need encouragement. God's people need encouragement. Your brothers and sisters in Christ need encouragement because everybody is going through something. I want to say this morning, I am excited that I look back here and I see Brother Roy Barnes in church with us this morning. Amen. It's good to see you, Brother Roy. We love you. We've been praying for you, and we're going to keep praying for you, brother. And I want y'all to also be praying, continue praying for Brother Thomas. Thomas is here this morning. God's worked another miracle. People say, oh, it's not God. Yeah, it is. It is. And we're glad to have Brother Thomas with us this morning. Let's keep praying for him. Let's also keep praying for Brother Tom Payne. Brother Tom Payne continues to go through testing, but things are improving. And he's really not gotten the bad results. He's just still trying to get everything figured out. So let's continue to pray for Brother Tom Payne. Let's also continue to pray for Miss Teresa Davis. Now, Teresa has had surgery this week, and the surgery did not go real well. They had to take her back in for a second surgery, kind of an emergency surgery after the first one because of some things that didn't go exactly right. So she was pretty down when we talked to her. She is home now, and she's recovering at home, but she's probably not going to be, if you want to text her, it would probably encourage her. She's probably not going to feel like talking on the phone, but let's pray for her. Lift her up before the Lord. I mean, this is a difficult time for her. Let's also remember Brother Cecil Knowles. Cecil Knowles is going for a heart cath, I understand, on Monday. He's had some heart issues, so let's remember him. You know, I could go on down the list. We've got quite a few to pray for in the church. We've got some that are, you know, it's ongoing things that people are battling. And then you got people sometimes are battling things in their life, and you may not know anything about it. Some people will share a little. Some people will share a lot. But as I said, everybody is going through something. Amen. Everybody's got something they need God's help with. You know, everybody in the world has something they need God's help with. Some of them realize it. Some of them do not realize it. If you got your Bible this morning, let's go to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to read in the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We're going to start reading in the 13th verse. And I want to talk about two things this morning. I want to talk about hope, but I want to talk about an anchor. You know, if you're a Christian saved by the grace of God, and you're saved and you know Jesus Christ, does not mean that you're going to go through life and never have challenges, never have difficulties. In fact, sometimes I've talked to Christian people and they say, it seems like since I've turned my life over to the Lord, it just seems like the struggles are there. It may be this. A lot of people go through life and they live oblivious. They live oblivious to what life is about. They live oblivious to why they're here, and they don't even pay attention to their trouble or try to find out why it's happening. Sometimes in our lives as Christians, you know, we think, and I've heard this, and I remember when I got saved, and I remember a preacher preaching this message. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you will never have difficulty. Now, I was just 12 when I got saved. It was a very eventful moment in my life. My eyes got real big, and I remember thinking just as a boy, well, I thought if you get saved, everything's going to be great. Well, everything is going to be great in your eternity. Everything is going to be great in the fact that there is a reason for you to be on this earth, and there is a purpose. But the Bible says in one place to think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Sometimes in our lives as Christians, we glorify God when we're on the mountain. But sometimes in our lives as Christians, we're supposed to glorify God in difficulty. You know, there is living grace, there is saving grace, there is dying grace. But I want you to also understand that I believe there is something called suffering grace. And, you know, we're living in a time today that I believe that Christians who understand the Word of God, and they understand the plan, and they have a vision, and they look at this country, they have a heavy burden. I don't believe you can be a Christian and be right with God and not look at America today and have a burdened spirit about where this nation's at. The Bible says that, you know, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And it also says that the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. And I want to say this, and I preached about the election, I've talked about the election, you know, I voted, and I'm going to say a couple of things, and then I'm going to turn it loose, and I'm going to be done with it. For me personally, I've already turned it loose. But here's what I want you to understand. God is on the throne. He's not dead. And sometimes people come up to me and they say, well, it must be God's will. Let me tell you something. The Bible says there, it is not his will that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And the Bible talks about they shall sow the wind and they will reap the whirlwind, okay? Any Christian that'll stand up and say, I'm saved by the grace of God, and you go out and vote somebody that's pro-abortion, that does not believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, that does not stand up and believe in Christianity and your right to worship God the way that you do, do not tell me you're right with God. Now, y'all know where I stand. So if you come up with me outside, that's what you're going to hear. And don't tell me this. It must be God's will. I want to tell you something. Sometimes America gets what they want because they're under the judgment of God, because they've forsaken God, they've walked away from God, and they're going to get exactly what they've sown. You know, here are the principles of sowing. There's three principles. You reap what you sow, more than you sow, later than you sow. So if you sow garbage, you're going to reap garbage, and you're going to have garbage come up. Now, let me tell y'all something, young people. The world's changing, but God has not changed. The expectation that God has not changed. The expectation on this nation has not changed. And let me tell you what we're going to do at Hiram First Baptist Church. We're going to keep serving God. We're going to keep walking for God. And we're going to keep doing the exact things that we've always done. And we're going to preach the uncompromised Word of God. And as many as want that kind of church can come here. Because if you want a watered-down party and a rock and roll music, it's out there. I'm just not that way. And I told my wife, I said, I'm a dinosaur. I'm the last one. They'll have my bones on display somewhere. That's really not true, though. You know why? Because you people love the Lord.
Amen.
And you young people love the Lord. And we're glad to be in the house of God this morning. Now, I want to talk about hope this morning. Here's what I want you to understand. My hope is not in anything on this world. My hope is in the Lord. Because if I look at my life and I look at I'm about to have a birthday, boy, it seems like they're coming faster, you know? You know, I can remember. I don't know why it was this way, but when I was 15 years old that summer and it was only about 2.5 months long, it was like eternity. I thought, when am I going to be able to get rid of this bicycle and get a car? When am I going to be able to get a job? When am I going to be able to do the things? Because I was actually behind when I started school. I was a year younger than most of my peers. I thought, when am I going to be able to have a life? And then all of a sudden I started working, and here I am. I have no hair. Yesterday, we were getting ready to go to a wedding. My wife says, do you want me to leave the comb out? I looked at her. I didn't know if it was church trying to be funny or insult me. Times change and things change. But God's not changed. And if I look at my life, and I know it's difficult for our young people to really understand this, but you'll turn around and you'll wonder where it all went. But I'm to the point that I'm not necessarily trying to figure out where it all went, but I want to make sure that I stay on course so that I'm going where I'm supposed to be going, and that I finish strong, and that I follow God. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse number 13. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after that he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for a confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or the permanence and the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath of his word. That by two immutable or unchangeable things, in which, number one, it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Now I want to talk about a little bit about what that is, but in verse 18, talks about those who fled for refuge, and folks, our refuge is in Jesus Christ. You know, to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. And can I say this? You know, and this morning when my alarm clock went off because I had a wedding yesterday and I was in a suit all day yesterday, I immediately grabbed my clock and I looked and it said 6:34. And you know what immediately went through my mind? I'm late for work. Okay, that's because yesterday being the kind of day it was, and then it hit me, oh, it's Sunday. I hit the snooze button, went right back to sleep. And in the morning, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, because that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, if I needed a job, I'd be out looking for a job, because that's what I'm supposed to do. If things need to be done around my house, if I'm able to do them, I'm going to do them, because that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, life requires some things of us, and I'm going to do those things because those are the things that a man or a woman are supposed to do. And when I go down to that job and I put forth the best effort that I can, and I'm going to do my best, and we'll talk a little more about that, that's what we're supposed to do. You know, and I'll get a paycheck for that, and I'm thankful for that. But what do I really rely on? You see, because of my relationship with God, I've come to the point that I realize my real supply source is Jesus Christ. And if I don't follow God and walk with God, that's why, and I said something like this to somebody recently, I don't get real high when it's good, and I don't get real low when it's bad. You know why? Because it's going to change. The Bible says over there in the book of Philippians to be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and with supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, I've learned, as Paul wrote, both how to abound and to be abased, to learn how to praise God in whatsoever state that I am, because my hope, my peace, My supply, what I have, is not based in this world, but it's based in the fact that I am a born-again Christian, saved by the grace of God, and God has a plan for my life, and no matter what's going on out in the world, there's nothing going to happen to me unless God is willing to allow it to happen.
That's right. Amen.
God's going to take care of his children. And if we look at the 19th verse, it talks about this hope that we have that is an anchor for the soul. You know, when I first began to think about this scripture and I thought about it and I thought about some of the people in our church, let me tell you something, and you know this if you care and you're talking about people, and I know you do. Some of you deacons, some of you workers in the church, you know, you get that phone call and somebody's at the hospital, somebody's going through something. The difficulty now is you can't even go and see them, and I understand that. You can't support them the way that you'd like to, and I understand that. You can't go sit by their bed and pray for them like you used to, and that's where we're at today. And sometimes I hear these burdens, and I'm thinking about how difficult it is for people that are going through these things, and I think about that the anchor is in Jesus, and here's what I'm thinking. And I prayed for some of you this way. I've said, God, would you sink that anchor deep in the rock so that in the most difficult times they'd know that you're there. Because if our hope is in the report from the doctor, sometimes we'll be disappointed. If our hope is in the promotion that we want, sometimes we're going to be disappointed. If our hope is in this world, sometimes we'll be disappointed, won't we? You see, what does our anchor do? Our anchor is in Jesus. You see, this anchor, our hope, it is sure. It's steadfast. It does not change. And it mentions something here in the 19th verse. It says, hope that is within the veil. And here's what I want you to understand what it was talking about. You know, in the Old Testament, they would actually, the within the veil was not a place that you and I could go. When Jesus was on the cross and he gave up the ghost, the Bible says that the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom and it spread. And what it did is Jesus Christ made a way for you and I to go directly to the throne of God, that we don't have to pray through a priest. We don't have to pray through somebody else. We don't pray in the name of Mary or anybody else. We pray in the name of Jesus and we can go directly to God the Father. Here's where our hope is. In the very presence of God, and it's approved by God. In the 20th verse, it says, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You go over to the Old Testament and you read about Melchizedek there. When Abraham went out and he brought Lot and the spoil back, Melchizedek, that name means king of righteousness from the city of peace. And here's the significance. I don't have a lot of time to spend on this morning, but this was God before the law. I want you to understand that. He was God. He was in control. He was before the law. And he was king of righteousness from the city of peace. And it says this hope that we have in the very presence of God, here's what I want you to see and understand. It is approved by and blessed by God. So what is hope? You ever look at people and you talk to them and they're going through something and you mention God and they look at you and they don't have a relationship with God? So where do people who don't have a relationship with God get their hope? So what is hope? As a verb, it means to cherish or desire the expectation of fulfillment, to long for with expectation of obtainment, to expect with desire, or to trust. And as a noun, it's to trust, reliance, desire, accompanied by expectation of belief and fulfillment. But what about hopeless? It means having no expectation of good or success, not susceptible to remedy or cure, despairing, desperate, or impossible. You know, in the world that we live in today, a lot of times Christianity and Christian people, or even the way that we believed, is mocked until people need hope. I've seen people time after time again. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't want the church. They don't want the people of God. until they really want a prayer answered. And the reason they come to God is because even those who don't follow God closely or serve God on a daily basis, they understand that if there's going to be hope in this life when we're dealing with difficulty, it's going to have to come from God. Job said this in 14th chapter in the 1st and 2nd verse. It says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, and he cometh forth like a flower, and he's cut down. He fleeth as a shadow, and he continueth not." You know, as Job said this, what I want you to understand about Job is Job was certainly a man that had a relationship with God, so much so that when Satan come up before the Lord, and, you know, he was going to and fro upon the face of the earth, the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Job walked with God. He served God. If you understand what the scripture says, it says that he even would pray daily for his children, lest perhaps they had sinned. He prayed for them. But there was a come a time when Job, in his pain, he cried out to God. It was even after losing the things he lost, he knew that the only hope was in the Lord. You see, life, even for a man like Job, was full of struggles. But he knew, even in the midst of his struggles, where his hope did lie. And what I want us to get, just a few points from the scripture this morning, is hope. And I want us to look at hope in this life, in this life. Sometimes we can get so focused on heaven, and I heard somebody say this one time, and it's just a saying, it's just a thought. I don't know whether I have an opinion about it. But he said, you know, we can get so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. Y'all ever heard that?
Yeah.
But you ever think about, and sometimes I get this way, and I have to back up just a little bit, because I can remember when I was younger. I can remember when I thought, boy, I can't wait to get 25, my insurance is going to go down. And then I can't wait to get to this point. And I can't wait to get to this point. Now I'm thinking, I can't wait till I get to retirement. And I'm thinking, I'm wishing my life away. You know what we got to learn how to do? We got to learn how to live today for God today and be the best us we can be for God today. And folks, when we talk about hope in this life, we're talking about right now. Right now, where does my hope lie? Right now, my hope lies in the Lord. It does not lie in anything that's going on in this world. It does not rely on anybody, whether they're somebody you prefer or not, being in office. My hope is in the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm going to follow Him and I'm going to serve Him because I know and understand what I see from the Word of God, that we have a purpose because of Him. Now, let's get a hold of it. We're created by God. We agree with that. Our purpose is to serve God. That's why people are on this earth, even those that don't do it. But I'm so, you know, when I think about the Lord and He's looking down at us, and I believe that He is, He looks at you as His children and He gets pleasure from your life. And all He wants is a relationship with you. And when He sees you smile and do the things that you enjoy, it's just like a father looking at his children. I was at a wedding last night and I saw a dad stand up and he looked over at his son and it was in a room with 180 people and he busted into tears because he was so proud of his son and his daughter-in-law and being able to be there. And he looked around at the friends and he thanked the people for coming. And as I looked at that and I looked at that father and that son, and then all of a sudden the son, he busted into tears and he said, "I am my father's child." And I thought about how God looks at you. God gets pleasure from your life, and all He wants is you. Sometimes people think, well, God wants this from me, and God wants that from me. Well, let's just be honest. Doesn't a father want his child to do the very best that they can? Doesn't he want them to succeed? Doesn't he want them to make good choices so that they do not destroy themselves from the bad choices they make? Doesn't he want them to live a life that's moral and good so that they can be what God wants them to be? That's what God wants from you. But the first thing he wants is you, because he loves you. And the purpose and the hope in this life is from our relationship with him.
Amen.
The little things, the big things, even the things that you enjoy, more than just being in church. And folks, I believe in corporate worship, and I think the church needs to be in church. But the church needs to be the church outside of church. Sometimes it can be understanding our purpose and even understanding that our labor is not in vain. You know, I don't know what kind of job God's given you, but whatever it is, be the best. And be it for the honor and glory of God. Sometimes you can say, well, I do all the work and so gets all the credit. No, they don't. God's stacking it up in heaven for you. Who they get the credit in front of? The world? Well, what's the world's opinion worth? In heaven, God's stacking it up for you. So if you do what the Bible says, to do all that you do heartily as unto the Lord, I can promise you, as I stood there yesterday, right before I gave the vows to that beautiful young man and young woman that come down the aisle, I looked up to heaven and I prayed and I said, God, I want to honor you more than anything here today, and help me with these words to be able to point them to who you are. That was their moment and it was precious. But I want to tell you something, as a Christian, when you go to work, you represent God. And you might be a plumber, you might be a broom pusher, I've done it all. And what I've prayed, and I can remember one time wanting a promotion and I didn't get it, and God had to calm me, and he told me if it was his will that I got it, nobody would have kept me from it. I had to come to the point that I said, God, whatever you want me to be, let me be the best one. That's hope in this life. That's how you can live with peace. You see, because if your peace relies on always on something you don't have or you haven't achieved, you'll never be at peace. Because you'll never have everything you want in this life. Well, how do you know? Because the more you get, the more you're going to want. The more you accomplish, the more you're going to want to accomplish. That's why Paul said, I've learned both how to abound and to be abased therewith, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And you know, the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I can stand here and tell you today, and I'm going to keep moving, but as a pastor, as a preacher, I'm content being a Christian. I hear people talk about the world and struggle with the world. You know what I struggle with is me. Just me. Okay, I'd rather have Jesus, like the song, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I can get out here on one of these cool afternoons and look at these trees and talk to the Lord, and I don't want to be nowhere else. Nowhere. You say, well, you're pretty boring. I'm boring, but I'm content. See, my hope in this life is in Him. What about in adversity? Charles Stanley, maybe 30 years ago, made a statement, and it's a write it down, and it's printed on the avenues of my heart and mind. He said, adversity makes men, but prosperity makes monsters. And I began to think about that, and I thought about in this life as a Christian. Some of the people that I've known that have walked with God that were the most faithful that I've ever seen seem like they had some of the biggest struggles. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand that. I can remember having a conversation with my mother about my dad. My dad started pastoring when he was 24 years old, and I had a little sister that died of cancer. My dad, I think he was about 25 or 26. And she started telling me about the difficulties and the burdens. And I'm amazed when she tells me how strong he was at such a young age. And she said, I wasn't strong as he was. She said, I saw him struggle and I saw how people treated him. And I want to tell you something, people can be cruel. And I told somebody this recently. If you ever get a letter from a member in this church and they're criticizing you, just bring me the letter. I'll take care of the letter, and I don't have a problem going directly to them. Yeah, a lot of you have had experience with that, haven't you? Just bring it to me. You know why? I want to tell you why. We serve a God. He's the judge. We're not. And when we're dealing with adversity, and sometimes Christians are trying to serve God, they're giving God everything they've got, and they can't understand why they're here. They can't understand why they're there. I want to tell you something. You just be faithful and serve God. Your hope is not in this life. Your hope is in the other life. If we could see what waits for us and the crowns that God has for His faithful children, I want to tell you something. Some of those that have been criticized the most are going to be the ones that God's going to glorify the most when they stand before Him. See, in our darkest hour, sometimes I believe that's when we can get the closest to God. There is scripture for that. Job said, when he was talking to the Lord at the end of the book, he had made peace with God and he was coming back into the right place with God. And he said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now by an eye hath seen thee for myself. You see, sometimes it's in our darkest hours of adversity and difficulty in our life that we learn how to turn that hope into something that's so sure and so anchored that no matter what we face or what we're in front of, we're going to serve God and we will never, ever let it go. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to get you down in your adversity and say, look what kind of God you serve. As difficult as it is God going to get more glory when we're on the mountain? And when everything's going good and we say, I praise Him. Or is it going to be when we're down in the valley? And everybody looks at us and it's just like Job's wife. They say, you might as well just give up. And we say, but nope. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. You see, even in adversity, our hope is in Him. And here's why. Because God does not change. God does not lie. God has no equal. There's nothing that can take us out of His hand. We're His. You know, we have hope in this life. We have hope in adversity. And something that is important, and we need to understand it, is we have hope in eternity. I wish everyone could hear it, understand it, get a hold of it. I wish it was taught in school, but it's not. There is eternity waiting in front of us. You know, we live through this life, and according to the days of a man, the Bible says, you know, if you go back and study in the Old Testament, they used to, before the flood, they'd live 900 years. You say, well, I don't believe that. I do. I believe in dinosaurs. How big would an alligator be, Brother Ken, if it lived 900 years? It'd be big, wouldn't it? Science, folks, if you really understand, is not contradicted by the Word of God. It's supported by it. 900 years before the flood, then after the flood, you'll see a time that it was 120 years for a man. Then you'll see a time later, the last that I find recorded is 70. That's 70 years. You know what? As we look around the building this morning, there are people in here that I call it living on the credit. God's been good. But if we understand the natural time of man, according to what I have, I might have 15 years left. There was a story of a man in the Bible named Hezekiah. He was told by the prophet he was going to die, and he's turned his face to the wall, and he wept, and he prayed to God, and God heard his prayer, and before the prophet could even fully leave the premises, God sent him back to Hezekiah, and he added 15 years to his life. Now here's the question. What are we going to do with those 15 years? You say, 15 years, that's not long. 15 years came, and Hezekiah died. You and I are going to die. Can't get out of it. And when I die, what's going to happen to me? You need to think about it. You need to think about it enough. Now, sometimes everybody wants to talk about heaven and everybody's got their view of heaven. Folks, I believe in heaven, but here's what's going to be in heaven. Jesus. He's the King. He's Lord of Lords. Amen. If you don't want nothing to do with Him and you don't believe in God, guess what? You're not going to heaven. You must be born again. You must be saved. This world today that we're living in needs to return to God and understand where they came from, why they're here, and where they're going. Everybody, when they're on their deathbed, what are you going to do? Deny God and say, well, I lived a good life. I guess it's over. I'm going to just go back to the dust. Well, your body will, but your soul and your spirit is going to go somewhere. Eternity with God or without God. You see, my hope in eternity is sealed. It's settled. And I'll tell y'all, y'all already know, I believe in eternal security. I believe when you get saved by the grace of God, you're saved. You can't be saved today and lost tomorrow. We're not having a debate, and you'll never get in this pulpit and say that as long as I'm pastor. Amen. I'm going to heaven. And I'm not going because I'm good. I'm going because He's good. My hope is in Him. I have hope in eternity. I'm going to see my dad, who is a great man. I'm going to see my mother. I'm going to see my little sister that died at 3 years old. I'm going to see Brother Quinn Evans that I didn't get to know on this life. I'm going to see all the people that have left this life that were saints of God, that were influences in my life. And all the ungodly and the mockers and the scoffers and those that have rejected God and those that make fun of what we do and deny the God that we serve, guess what? They are not going. Amen. And I don't say that with glee, because we're different than them. Folks, I'm not going to go burn down Walmart because things didn't happen the way I want them to. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray for them. Because they're going to hell. You say, well, that's unpopular. Yes, it is. But I have hope in Jesus. And I'm going to serve Him. And Brother Allen's been sharing it with the youth about the disciples. They believed in Jesus so much. They saw Him after He was resurrected, and they followed Him so much. But even though they were persecuted, even though every one of them ended up losing their life for their faith, they knew that their hope was in eternity. We do not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know that my hope is in Him. And Job said this in the 14th chapter in the 7th verse, more of what he said. He said, there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the sin of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. See, our assurance is in this. Because Jesus arose, we can arise. You know, I think sometimes about when Jesus went over there and He said, Lazarus, come forth. One day He's going to say, church,
yes,
come forth.
Yes.
Based on what I believe and what I read in the Word of God, when He comes, and He will, I'm going to recognize Him.
Amen.
I'm going to know who He is. And when I hear His voice and I hear the sound of that trumpet, I'm going. And I'm going to be giddy. I've heard people say, well, there won't be any preaching in heaven. I don't know how in the world you could say that. I get close to the Holy Spirit, I can't hardly keep my mouth shut. Now, it'll be different. I may not have to preach about the blood anymore. I'm going to preach about this. I'm going to be like the angels. I'm going to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. And I'm going to take all the crowns, and the saints of God are going to cast them at His feet. But when He comes and that voice is audible and that trumpet sounds, there's going to be some people scared to death. We can stand in our pride today, and we can stand in what we say we believe today, and we can stand in offense today, but no one is going to stand in the presence of God and mock on that day. You see, as we talk about the hope that we have, what about the hopelessness of the wandering soul? We played a movie here. I believe it's God's Not Dead. And it had the newsboys in it, and it had the little girl who was a reporter. And she's like a lot of the world today, and I'm going to say this, and I'm about done. But you know, she had a very successful career. She was good looking, you know. You look at them, had everything this world has to offer, so much so, and this is where a lot of people are at today. I've got everything I want. I don't need God. I've got my job, I got my career, I got my good looks, I got my money, I got my success, I got my fame. I'm doing what I want to do. I don't need God. Had her boyfriend. He was successful too. But then she went to the doctor because she just had some little problem. The doctor said, you might be successful, you might be good looking, you might have a career, you might have everything, you might have this, you might have that. But I want to tell you something. You got cancer. And I don't care if you're 34 or 35, you're going to die. Some people, when they get to that point, it makes them worse. They're worse. They blame God. They fight God. They turn on God. For a period of time in the movie, that's what she did. But as she stood there and she was actually talking to Michael Tate in the movie, and she said, do you really expect people to believe in God? And do you really think that there's hope in Him? He said, yeah. And he knew her name and he called her name. And he said, where do you get your hope? She had no answer. We're living in a world today that has a false hope because they think their hope lies in something that's in this world, and it doesn't. You know, sometimes it could be, and I'm not a hypochondriac, so if I say this, y'all don't think I am. You ever had something happen in your body? And you think, I wonder what that is. Maybe a little heart flutter. Yesterday I had a real tender spot on my head right there. And I'm thinking, did I have a stroke? You ever had a bump come up and it just doesn't heal fast enough? And you wonder, what is that?
Oh yeah.
One day it's going to be something. You ever had a problem? You ever had a difficulty? You ever had a burden? And you think, God, what is that? You just come right down to the altar. And you talk to Him and you give it to Him. Why? Because you as a Christian, you understand that your hope is in Jesus. Where does the world go? They don't have anywhere to go. So if your hope is in Jesus, let me tell you something that the Bible tells you. You have an anchor that is sure. It's not going anywhere. It's solid. You know why it's solid? Because He's got you. He's got you. It's not anchored. You know, when I go fishing and I throw the anchor out, I'm anchoring in mud or dirt or whatever. Maybe, you know. But I'm not anchoring this world. I'm anchored in Jesus, and He's got me. All that I have to do is hold on to Him. Now, they're about to get a song. You know, as Christians, sometimes we just need to pray. We need God. We need His presence. We need His peace. We need His encouragement. And right now, I've had people calling me. They're troubled. They're concerned. God's still God. His promises are true. He hasn't changed. But if you don't have Him, perhaps the most important thing you need today is you need Jesus. Amen. Because eternity will come for you. And will you be with God or without God. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. We're going to play a song. Give you an opportunity this morning if you'd like to pray. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you'd like to pray and you'd like to have, you say, well, I feel conviction, but I just don't understand everything. Well, maybe you'd like to have somebody explain it to you. Here's what we'll do. We've got ladies here that can talk to ladies, and we've got men that can talk to men. Young people, we got Christian young people that can talk to young people. So if you want to understand more, if you've got questions, we'll be glad to help you. Find the place that you're at peace with God. If you're here and, you know, there's just so much going on and your heart's so troubled, I want you to understand there's still hope in Jesus. Yeah. Maybe you need somebody just to pray with you this morning. You know, the best thing sometimes we can do is just be honest with God. He already knows. Amen. And the reason you come and be honest with God is not because He doesn't know and you need to tell Him. It's so that you can be clean with Him and let Him comfort you. It's like when you forgive somebody, it helps you. So as they play this song, if you'd like to pray, would you please come? Go ahead, please.
So hungry, but we hold the bread of life. Surrounded by darkness, but we know the name of the light.